It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant Prime.
And the Giants mobile app.
We'll punch you in the nose for 60 minutes with a relentless competitive attitude.
Part of the Giants Podcast Network.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com and, of course, on the Giants mobile app. John Schmelk, Jeff Fiegels with you. The phone number is 973-667-1960. I'll also keep an eye on Twitter as we go at hashtag GiantsChat. Come in, get your questions, but we'll try to keep taking your calls. The phones have been great over the past 2 months, really, as we got ready for the draft. I know we're getting into a bit of a slower time here, but we still love to take your calls. And the fun part of this, Jeff, is that now we can kind of open up the phones to anything people want to talk about, off the wall topics, you name it. If you have any ideas, by the way, for shows over the next 3 months before we get to training camp,
send tweets
into us, give us calls, talk about ideas. We're open up to anything. Have some fun, games, contests, whatever you want to do, you can give us a call, and we can certainly chat about it. Jeff, how was your Mother's Day weekend?
Always good. Of course, I know that my mother is deceased. I think yours is too.
Yep.
So, you know, we always miss them on that day. And I'm sure there's a lot of other listeners around that are there thinking the same thing. So, but I was with my wife and my son's mom. That was good. And we had everybody at home. So how about you, John? Did you have a good day?
Yeah, we had a good day. It was relaxing. Wish it didn't rain. We could have gotten outside a little bit more. Then again,
yeah.
I would have been like crying and sneezing and packing and wheezing all over the place if I did that.
Tough day.
But yeah. Yes, the allergies have not been fun. But we are going forward, and we are into May now, Jeff. The schedule release obviously comes your way Thursday this week. I like the fact that the NFL is going to put that in May, hopefully going forward now. You kind of keep it away from the draft a little bit.
Yeah, it used
which
to be
is
in
a
April.
Good thing. Yeah,
yep.
And I felt like that kind of almost broke the rhythm of the prep for the draft, where you kind of got the kind of thrown in the middle. And
yeah.
I'm happy we don't have that anymore. So
well,
that's
now
good.
they can do a full-on production of it, too.
Oh, and they will.
Yeah, of
course. They will, which should be fun. And by the way, I am on Friday going to have an interview with Mike North, who's one of the guys over there that works on the schedule for the league. And that's
oh, I remember I was talking to him last year, was it? Or some? What did we talk to somebody about the draft one day? I mean, the schedule. Didn't we do that a few years ago?
Yeah, I don't know if it was Mike. It might have been somebody else. But yes, we
did. It's crazy, though.
No, it's fun. So I'm going to talk to him on Friday. That'll probably post next Monday. So we're going to have some fun with that later on today. Don't know when, so it might not be up yet when you listen to this, but Jim Nagy.
That'll be interesting.
Yes, yeah. That'll be fun. But also, I'm going to have Jim Nagy on the Giants Huddle, and that'll be on the Giants Huddle podcast, by the way.
Good.
And also posting later today in the Giants Huddle podcast, Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl and had four member of the Giants draft classes in Mobile this year. He joined me. He gave me like 35 minutes, Jeff, to kind of break down those players,
great,
what it was like interacting with them up close. So that'll be posting later on today. And up there right now, if you're listening to this live, don't turn the show off, though, but when it's over, go over to the Giants Huddle podcast. I talked to Daniel Jeremiah for about 15 minutes about the Giants draft class as well.
That's always a good one.
Oh, and good dude, too. Just really nice guy. And we had some fun, too. It wasn't just all serious talk. We joked around a little bit, too. Anyway, so today I thought we kind of focused mostly on the Giants draft class last week, Jeff.
Yep.
And understandably so. We're still going to do that today. We'll take your calls on it, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we really didn't talk much about the draft writ large in terms of how it went and other teams and stuff like that. So I thought now would be a good time to talk a little bit about that. And our focus will be on the NFC East. Obviously, the three other teams that'll be, you know, playing six games against the Giants and competing with them for that always elusive NFC East division title. So, Jeff, which of the other three teams in the NFC East was your favorite draft class?
Well, let me just put it this way. I think the Giants came out on top. Okay, I do. I give them the highest grade of the four.
Well, I think if you include the fact that they have all the extra picks next year.
Yes. Yeah, have to. That
yes,
has to go along with
100%.
It. 100%. Yeah. So, by the way, the Giants had the least amount of picks, and I thought they did the best without as many picks as they with the least amount.
No, that's a great point. That's a great point, too.
I think the next team that I think improved themselves, it's a toss-up between the Eagles and the Washington team. I'm going to go ahead and say it was the Eagles, and I'll tell you why, because they jumped ahead of the Giants to get a receiver that I thought that the Giants were probably targeting. And I give it the Washington football team, I gave them a little slighter grade because I feel like they had a chance and they didn't take advantage of it, of getting a quarterback. I don't know what they're thinking down there, but they must love Fitzmagic for some reason. But I just, you know, we'll see there. So, you know, in that order, and I think Dallas, I think they just went crazy, crazy defensively.
Understandably so, given how their team did last
year.
But the question
is,
did they pick the right defensive guys is the question.
Well, you would have thought that there would have been a little bit more of an offensive, you know, they just did sign a guy at a quarterback for basically $100 million a year or whatever it is. I mean, geez, get a little protection. But I feel like the Giants in that order. So it would be the Giants, and then it would be the Eagles, Washington, and then Dallas. That's the order that I would have picked them.
Well, I think here's a fair question. Before I think here's a fair question before I get into these other classes specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Would you trade? I'm taking the picks out of the equation now.
Okay.
Out of the equation. Would you rather have Kadarius Toney, Aaron Robinson, and Azeez Ojulari, or Devontae Smith, Landon Dickerson, and Milton Williams? It's
boy,
close,
boy.
But
it's very close.
I think because Ojulari was such a good value and Dickerson's injury history concerns me, I think I might lean Giants there too. But I know you love Landon Dickerson, so I know it makes it tougher on you.
I did like Landon. But, you know, I think that – so let's just take him for example. And maybe this will make the reason why I'm going to pick what I'm going to do. I think Dickerson, if he's healthy and he's going to be able to play this year – I think he can play left guard, okay, or right, or whatever guard position that they're going to need, because I think that Kelsey's kind of, you know, that he's the heir apparent replacement for him. Right?
Kelsey's getting older, absolutely, and Brandon Brooks coming back. What do you have, an Achilles last year, I think?
Was it
the guard?
I think it was an Achilles.
Yeah, Achilles or ACL, one of the, I think it was an Achilles.
So what if the Giants, and I answered the question, yeah, I would have taken the Landon Dickerson guy, but for the Giants, I loved him. And I would have had to move Gates to guard, right?
Honestly, I think Dickerson might be a guard long term, to be honest with you.
Okay, so in each of those positions,
yes.
Either one, we would have had him playing guard or tackle. So I think that the
guard or center, you mean?
Guard or center. So those are even to me, okay? Because I think the Giants and the Eagles would have done the same thing with him,
sure.
Either way.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go to Devontae Smith or Kadarius Toney, right?
I think both of us would have drafted Smith before we drafted Toney.
That's
right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. So now I've picked two out of the three from the Eagles. So, and then the third one was Milton, right? So
yeah, Milton Williams.
And he's a good player. And I wanted the Giants to take. He's a tackle, and I wanted the Giants to take a tackle. So.
Yeah.
I probably would go with the Eagles' three picks there rather than the Giants.
Fair enough. But again, the Giants acquired three additional picks in next year's draft in addition.
Big time.
And they traded down. See, for me, I look at it, yes, Smith over Toney. We mm-hmm. talked about that before the draft. Mm-hmm. But I would have picked Ojulari before I picked Landon Dickerson.
So I would have too.
So
yes.
I like the Ojulari pick there. And frankly, I like Milton Williams, but I would have picked Aaron Robinson, I think, before I picked Williams.
And that's where we disagree.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's why I think I edge it to the Giants, because it's two out of three. But at the same time, I do think there's a good tier gap between Smith and Toney. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why he leans back to Philly a little bit. But again, I think all in all, and again, once you include the draft picks, it's easy to the Giants. But I think even with just the players, I think you can make the argument. But I'm with you, Jeff. I think the Eagles, other than New York, had the best draft class of the NFC East. I mean, it's funny. They almost took all of our little pet favorite players and took them all, right?
Well, Gainwell was one of them.
The guy that I talked about in the first round all the time was Devontae Smith. I loved him a lot.
Mm-hmm. I talked to Landon.
Of course, you loved Landon Dickerson in the second round.
Yep.
DeTino loved Milton Williams in the third. He loved Kenneth Gainwell in the fifth. I'm honestly not right. So
no, you're 100%
correct.
That's four
players that we've been talking about a lot on our show. So it'd be very hypocritical if we didn't say we like this draft, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Zach McPherson. I did not watch him. I'm not that familiar with him in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Marlon Tuipulotu. Mm-hmm. We talked about him at a USC as a defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I think Philly had a really nice draft. And remember, they have. Oh, I had it up in the Peter King article, and then I was reading down, and I lost track of it here. Let me see if I can get back to that very quickly. He had a good list in his article of how many draft picks each team has next year. Let me see if I could pull that up.
While you're doing that, you know, the Eagles, they're clearly in a rebuild. You know that. So I think they did very well going down that path with the players that they picked, especially Devontae Smith. I think that, you know, they need this, like CeeDee Lamb was with the Cowboys. I think I'm seeing Devontae Smith in the same situation.
Right. So, Jeff, the Eagles own 8 picks in the first 5 rounds of the draft next year, and they could own 3 first-round picks depending on that Carson Wentz trade.
Yeah.
With his playing time, yields a first or second rounder. So they are loaded up for next year.
Yeah, so if you want to go ahead and just include that with, you know, what the Giants got next year too,
because
do the Giants overtake it? Well, I mean, do the Eagles overtake the placement
there? Well, I mean, it's a good question because the Eagles did pick up an extra 1 moving down, right?
Mm-hmm.
From, what was it, 5 to 12? Is that where Miami was, I think?
They moved first.
6 to 12. Pardon me. They moved down from 6 to 12, and then they moved up,
mm-hmm.
or 6 to 13. Then they moved up from 13 to 11 to get Smith, and that cost them, I think it was a third-round pick. So, yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think that evens out the class. I think I still give the edge to the Giants because I give them the Ojulari and Aaron Robinson edge over the 2 second-rounders, mm-hmm. The second and third rounder for mm-hmm. Philly. But you're right. I think that really does even it up. I thought Philly, much like the Giants, had a really nice day.
But, I mean, again, I think that the Eagles will finish last in the division this year, given my picks now, but I think they'll finish last. But they had a great draft. It's a good start them to rebuild their team.
Right, but Jeff, why do you have them finishing last?
Because of their quarterback.
Bingo. 100%. No, look, you're right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's such an important position. Mm-hmm. You know, they can
important.
They can have a team of Pro Bowlers around them, but if you don't believe in the quarterback, it's really not going to matter much, you know?
100%. And I think that, you know, Jalen Reagor will get a little bit more. He should get freed up because of Devontae Smith. But you know what? You still have to have a quarterback to throw the ball to him, you know? And just because Smith played at Alabama with Hurts, I mean, that doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
At this level, because it's a different system. It's everything is different. They've been away from each other for a while. So, you know, the Giants, to me, are in such a better position because I think the arrow is so far going north. And then it did just help the team with their draft picks, especially Ojulari, I think, is going to be, you know, listen, he's not a guy he's not all that big, okay? He's 6'2", and, you know, and he's not 300 or 280 pounds, whatever, but his quickness and his arms and just the way that he can separate is going to really be fun to watch.
And his leverage, too, right?
He has to because of his size.
Right,
he has to use it.
Right. That's one of the things I talked to with Daniel Jeremiah, and I actually said to him, it was kind of just in the midst of conversation, it came to me. You know, you mentioned he's not the tallest. He's only 6'2", right? Well, shorter players in the front, what does that help him achieve? Leverage. Because they're a little smaller, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the best of both worlds, though. A lot of times the guys that are shorter, they don't have long arms, right?
Yeah,
so they get people into their body. Well, Ojulari's got 34-inch arms.
Mm-hmm.
So he can use the length and his hands to win that way, but then he can also use his leverage and strength because he's, you know, only 6'2". So it kind of gives him the best of both worlds in that scenario.
Yeah, and if you learn how to use leverage as a defensive end or even attack, you have to be able to – that's got to be one of your tools in your toolbox.
Well, speed to power, right? I mean
– yeah. I mean, look at some of the other guys around the league that aren't the tallest. The Bosa brothers are not that tall, right? I mean, look at the guy from Pittsburgh, his brother. What's his name?
T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt. I mean, another guy that's just, you know, quick, fast leverage. Just, you know, just – so I like that. I liked it, and I'm excited to watch him play. And, you know, I guess the knee thing has been taken care of. But, yeah, bumped him down in maybe a 1 round. But
Knows with injuries? We talked about it. All you can do.
Some other teams didn't care about the injuries. They just thought that they weren't very happy about his production.
All you can do is have your medical staff look at the medical reports and make the best determination you can. That's all you can do.
Yeah. And then with Washington, I think they're going to be a really good football team, hence the name. They're going to be solid, but I think their quarterback.
Well, that's another question, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly. I think their defense will be, you know, that's Ron Rivera, right? I mean, he's going to build the defense the way he wants to, and they've done that. And I think they've added to how good they are. But offensively, they got some good weapons offensively, right? I mean, what's his name, Brown, Damami or Damam? What's his, how do you pronounce
okay,
his name?
So we're going to start practicing for the season now. Diami.
Diami. From UNC. Watched a lot of him. I think he's kind of a guy that's in that top echelon of second-tier wide receivers in this draft.
Yeah, and they got him with their second, third-round pick. I thought that was one of the best value selections of the draft. And what that is a product of, Jeff, and you know this, there's so many good receivers, it just pushed them down the board.
That's right. And remember this, we always talked about this. There wasn't a lot of guys in the draft this year as normal. So that position did push guys down where some of the free agents – some of these teams have picked the free agents this year. There's going to be some good players, man.
And then you had Jamin Davis in the first round, who I know
a lot of
people.
So Jamin Davis, they needed
really,
him.
Yeah, they did. At linebacker, they did. Because they got
three
a
down
great
linebacker.
Front, but they don't have that three down linebacker.
I want to call him Jamin. Jamin Davis, right? J-A-M-I-N, Jamin.
I think.
You'd be Jamin, man.
I think it's Jamin, right?
It is Jamin.
Okay.
It is Jamin, because I remember when they picked, and whoever it was that mentioned his name, it was obviously Roger Goodell. He called him Jamin Davis, and I was wondering if his name is Jamin Davis, which would be kind of cool.
See, I also heard Jamin in
Jamin,
the draft process,
yeah.
But Jamin, because you want to be Jamin Man?
Is
that why Jamin. You want to call? Okay.
Yeah. Another one of those names where you can call, you know, listen, you know, Jeff, it's Jeff,
yes.
Right?
Well, and then Sam.
John is John.
And then Sam Kyle. Well, Schmelk is not Schmelk, though.
No, it's not. It's Schmeek.
Yeah, exactly right. And then Sam Cosby in the second round, I thought was another really good value pick there. I thought he was
sure.
One of the last offensive tackles to come off. I know I didn't watch him in detail, but I know a lot of people really like Benjamin St. Juste, the quarterback out of USC as well, who they got in the third round. So I thought Washington had a really nice draft too. And then I like two of their seventh-round picks, to be honest with you, going a little deep here. William Bradley King out of Baylor was somebody that I saw at the Senior Bowl. I thought he was very good and very active. And then Shaka Toney had a lot of production.
Oh, Shaka Toney, yeah. I like that just because of the name. I would have picked them.
You could have Shaka Toney and
Shaka
John McDonough. It would have been great.
But, Shaka Khan.
Yeah, I'm
Shaka
with you. Khan. I think Washington had a nice draft, and that team, Jeff, and I would say this only half joking, it's all going to depend on the week that you get them. If you get them on the week where good Ryan Fitzpatrick shows up, they could be an 11-win team. If you get them in a week that bad Ryan Fitzpatrick shows up, they could be a 6-win team. So really, that's going to be what version of Ryan Fitzpatrick comes to the game, and that's kind of going to determine how that season goes for them, right?
100%. And and Taylor Heinicke, is that his name?
Heinicke.
There's another guy that they're banking on. So, I mean.
Yeah, by the way, he had a nice playoff game. Not for nothing. He did.
He did. He did. But,
He's the future now, but he
Justin
had a nice
Fields,
game.
Mac Jones, they were there for those guys.
Well, I mean, they would have had to trade up for him.
But they should have got, they could have went and got him.
No, they could
have. They were there. They were available.
They chose not to.
And Martin Mayhew, right? We know him from the Giants.
Very nice guy.
Did a nice job, I thought, in the draft, other than the quarterback. And that's just one man's opinion. I think that a lot of people would agree with me, but some people may not, you know?
Yep.
So, but I think they are literally putting their eggs in one basket for defense. They're going to have a strong defense. So offensively, they just got to have, you know, time of possession and, you know, that's it.
Yeah,
so,
look, they added a weapon and an offensive lineman. Those are two areas where they had to get better. Mm-hmm. And that'll help the offense a little bit, which is good. All right, let's get to Dallas really quick because we haven't even mentioned them once yet. They were honestly, Jeff, one of my least favorite drafts, not just in the NFC East, but in the league.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Michael Parsons in the first round, where he got picked. Look, we talked about him with the Giants all that time. He was right in that neighborhood. They moved down two spots, picked up an extra three to get him.
Okay.
Can't argue with that, right?
No.
Good pick.
Yeah.
Again, we'll see value of the linebacker. Where he does on third down. We don't have to relitigate Michael Parsons. Now, the rest of the draft, though, and I thought Dash had a pretty nice day three, but day two is where the Cowboys lost me. They had four picks, and in my opinion, they can't, if you want to go by how I analyze these players, they had one third-round graded player in their entire day two haul, and the rest of the guys were, I thought Odighizuwa and Golston, while they were nice players, I thought they were more like fourth-round picks.
Yeah.
I thought Kelvin Joseph. I mean, you ever heard of a team asking a player to opt out? That's what happened at Kentucky with Kelvin Joseph.
Yeah, that's trouble.
Yes. And he already got not kicked off, but he had issues at LSU in his first year there.
Well,
anyway.
You got Micah Parsons and Kelvin Joseph now.
Well,
they have to deal with both those guys.
It's funny. We joked, right? If there's one thing the Cowboys don't worry about, it's kind of the off-the-field stuff. So they went in on that big time. and then throw in their fourth round pick, Josh Ball, who has domestic violence stuff in his background too.
Really,
so yeah. I thought Jabril Cox in the fourth round was a real nice pick, but again,
that
thought,
that was probably one of their, well, aside from Parsons, who we know is going to be a good player.
Yeah.
But Jabril Cox, he's, I mean, that guy's a heck of a player.
No, Cox in the fourth round, good pick. And then I thought I like Semi Fajoko, the wide receiver out of Stanford in the fifth round. Mm-hmm. He's like 6'3", ran like a 4.4.
Yep.
And then I think even Quentin Bohanna in the sixth round. He's a nose tackle from Kentucky, one of those big space eaters. So I thought that was fine. But look, you have four day two picks, and you come away with Kelvin Joseph, Osa Odighizuwa, Chauncey Golston, and Nashawn Wright, a guy that most people had a fifth or a sixth round grade on. He's, Quinn, their DC, loves those tall corners. He's 6'4".
They're both big.
Yeah. Yeah, the other one they drafted, I might see this one, Israel Mukuyama, I think. Yeah. Mukuyama?
Yeah, sounds good to me,
in the
John.
Sixth round. I think he's going to turn into a safety for them based on what I've read. But, yeah, look, they went all defense, Jeff. One, two, three, four, five. The first six picks were all defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
Two linebackers, two cornerbacks, and two defensive linemen. So clearly they're trying to, rebuild that defense for Dan Quinn. But I'm not sure I saw the value that I would have liked out of them having all those day two picks.
I think if we threw one of those corners that they wanted that they didn't get in their draft class, we would have felt a little bit better about it. I don't know if you agree with me,
Yeah, I think you're probably, imagine this. What would have happened if they got Horn or Surtain in the first round, and then they drafted Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in the second round? We'd be sitting here like, whoa, that's a heck of a draft, right?
Yeah, but they just couldn't. They were gone.
It's luck.
Yeah. And then they went ahead and got Micah Parsons, who's going to be fun to watch.
He's going to be a pain in the butt. Giant fans are not going to like Micah Parsons.
There's no question. You heard it here first, okay? He is going to be a pain in the neck because of his athleticism. He's going to make plays that you just scratch your head about, like, how did, what?
Well, he's probably going to sack Daniel Jones once or twice too, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then, not to get off the Cowboys, I think that they really got derailed when these guys, because we heard about was they're going cornerback. They want cornerback. They want Horn. They want, they want these guys. They didn't get them.
Yep.
And then they had to, they already got, look at the linebackers they've already got. I mean, how much money do they owe Smith?
Yeah, a lot. A lot. And they already declined the fifth-year option on Leighton Vander Esch. He's had some injury issues.
Yep.
He's a good player, but he just hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Yep. And, of course, Sean Lee, he was basically an injury guy too. So,
yep.
So you're going to get Jalen Smith, and now you're going to have Micah Parsons playing and Vander Esch. That's a pretty good threesome right there.
Andrew Brocox. That's a lot.
Who might be the best coverage linebacker in the draft.
Throw this in there too. They signed Keanu Neal in the offseason, Jeff, and Dan Quinn says they're converting him to linebacker. So how many linebackers are they going to play exactly?
Well, you can never have enough of those guys or corners. So, I mean, these guys get hurt
all the
time.
But that's a lot of linebackers. Anyway,
ask you a quick question
please.
Then. So and this might be, maybe some of the callers might be able to give us their answer to my question here. Of all the draft picks in the NFC East, okay, including the Giants, who do you think is going to be the thorn in everybody's side for years to come?
Oh, Devontae Smith. Easy.
Do you think so?
Yes. That's one, and Parsons is two.
Okay.
How about you? What do you think?
Well, I was going to say Smith, too, because I just feel like I don't – Paul always had the problem with the 166 pounds, and some people do. But if you look at the way the guy plays, he plays smart because of his height and weight.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's a guy that's going to – and I'm sorry that the level of play between the SEC and the pros, there is a difference, but there's not a huge difference, okay? There's still guys that can hit you at the SEC level, and that's big-time football. And I think that the guy knows how to play the position, and he's a smart guy. Yes, he's going to be like a DeSean Jackson all over again.
And by the way, what I'm going to do, Jeff, after those top two, because I think you agree Smith and Parsons are 1-2, right?
I do.
And I'm going to throw the Giants into the mix. I think 3 and 4, and you can order them however you like, Ojulari and Tony. Those are the next two guys on the list for me.
Let me just see. I'm going down here looking at these guys here. Smith, Yeah, because then we were obviously talking about playmakers. Like an offensive lineman could just be a guy that makes a Pro Bowl every year. We're not going to know much about him, right?
Yeah. You aren't going to have Giant fans laying awake at night being mad that Landon Dickerson made a block on a 3rd and 3, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to call him Jammin' because I just like the name.
Okay,
but, you know, Jammin' Davis. He's not, could he be that? And I don't think he would be a guy that would leapfrog the guys that we've already mentioned.
I would put Davis 5 on that list.
Yeah. Yeah, but I agree, and I'd be interested to see what maybe some of the callers have to say about that.
And I could even argue Ojulari could maybe be – if Ojulari, you know, turns into an 8-9 sack guy, he might be ahead of Micah Parsons on that list too. Let's be honest.
Well, from the position, yeah, he probably would because, I mean, Micah Parsons does know how to blitz, that's for sure. But, you know, would he have as many sacks as the guy playing inside, you know, the off-ball, or I don't know. We'll see. I like both of them. They're going to be fun to watch. They really are.
All right, let's get to the phones, Jeff. 973-667-1960. That went a little bit longer than I would have liked, but I thought it was a fun conversation.
Always good.
Always good to take a look at what's happening in the division. Hey, Giant fans, limited Giant season tickets are on sale now for the 2021 season. In addition to ticket savings, membership benefits include access to exclusive events, experiences, pre-sales, and more. You can lock in your seat starting at just $100. Call 888-NYG-1925 or visit giants.com/tickets. Pardon me. For more information. All right, Jason in New Haven leads us off today. Jason, what's up?
Hi, Jason.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling
thanks
in,
for
man. What's
on.
Up?
All right. I know you got other callers, so I'll try to make it as quick as I can. I have 2 points and then a fun little question at the end.
Sure.
So both points have to do, which ad nauseum, I'm sure you guys heard it a billion times, both lines of scrimmage, offensive and defensive lines. So I'll start with the O-line. If you look at last year's playoff teams, there's one thing that really strikes me, and I'm sure it'll strike you guys too. The playoff sacks allowed, so I'm going to just go down a list of some of the teams. The Bucks only allowed 22 sacks in the regular season. The Colts, 21. The Chiefs, 24. The Bills, 27. The Packers, 21. And the Browns, 26. So I'm saying this to say that if the Giants really want to make a strong push in the playoffs or push for playoff contention, we need to cut down our sacks. I think I may be wrong. Maybe you guys could check. I think we allowed 50 sacks last year or something to that degree. And I'm going to lead into my next point.
Jason, I will say that very quickly to add to that. Some of that's offensive line. A lot of that's quarterback play too, right?
Okay.
Like Phillip Rivers for Indianapolis gets rid of the ball fast. Tom Brady gets rid of the ball fast. The way they run the offense in Cleveland and Green Bay, you know, that's a lot of, you know, move the pocket Shanahan stuff. So that ball, they kind of protect the quarterback that way too. I don't disagree with the overall premise. I don't. But I think some of that's on Daniel Jones as much as it's on the Giants offensive line too to read the defense quickly and get the ball out. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, sure. I get it. It's a symbiotic relationship. So
100%.
I get that. So I lead into my next point about a player that maybe on a national level isn't known, and maybe I'm sure the Giants, the front office coaches, they do all the research year in, year out, all year round. One name that strikes me that's still out is a center that played for the Chiefs named Austin Reader. I don't know if I'm saying his name right.
I believe it's Reader.
Mm-hmm. Reader, okay. When I look at some of his PFF scores and some of his stats, apparently he's only allowed 2 sacks in the last 2 seasons. Now, I'm sure there's other things involved, the whole line, but to only allow 2 sacks in the center within the last 2 years is pretty good. His PFF ranking was 70.9, which is, I think, 11 points or 15 points higher than what Nick Gates is. And I did like the way Nick Gates played last year. But Nick Gates, to me, seems more of a David Deal type. I'm not calling him this. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling him David Deal, but he's a player that I think you can move in different spots.
Well, Jason, I'm going to cut you off right there because, look, I'm not an offensive line expert. Sean O'Hara has said to me on numerous occasions he thinks Nick Gates is a center and he'll be a significantly better center than he would be a guard or a tackle. So I'm going to trust Sean O'Hara as a guy that played the position to give me that information. So that's what I'm going to tell you about that.
Okay. All right. And then I'll move on to the next point and then the question. I know we don't have a top-tier alpha pass rusher, but I really love what's on our roster. We have different guys that do different things. And I think that competition in the summer and in preseason is going to be really fierce. And that's one of the when I talk about edge rushers, I think that group is going to be a real fierce battle. You have Ryan Anderson we brought in. We had Adenabo. We drafted Aziz. We still got Lorenzo. We got X-Man coming back. We got Cam Brown. We got
Carter.
Carter Coughlin. I forgot about him. So,
oh, no, you got the other Carter.
And also Lorenzo Carter.
Lorenzo Carter, excuse me, yes. I think that I'm really going to have my eyes on that competition. I think it's going to be very fierce. We can't keep everybody, but I think the level of competition will have maybe one or two players rise there. Their level of play, just because we have so many bodies. Now, we may not have a Von Miller in that group or a Chandler Jones in that group, but I think it's a very good group, and I'm really looking forward to that competition. And then the fun question I have for you guys, and I'll take it off the air, given our current roster, and I'm not comparing the players, one evidently had a kind of a borderline Hall of Fame career, but looking at our roster now, if you could take one running back, take Saquon out of it, who would you take given our roster? Brandon Jacobs or Tiki Barber, as far as who would you think would be more impactful on our roster in 2021? And I'll take it off the air.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate the call. Tiki.
Yeah, that's easy, Tiki.
I think
he fits the offense that's here better.
People forget how good he was.
Listen. He could catch the football.
Jeff, you're on the team, you know.
Yeah, no, he could do three things good at the running back position: catch the football, block, and run. Those three things he was very good at it, and he could block. He could block. Had a little fumble problem there at the first time, a little while, and then he corrected that. So, yeah, I would take in. Brandon's just a bruiser, and I think the game today doesn't call for a bruiser back. I think you got to have a guy that's multiple that can do a lot of different things. And you know, Brandon wasn't great about catching the football. He really wasn't. He was just too big of a man. They just give it to Bradshaw. He was better at it.
Hands isn't the first thing that comes to mind when you think of. And again, that's not they didn't really throw Brandon the ball much. Not like he had a lot of drops.
Didn't. Yeah,
but that wasn't necessarily his thing.
But you know, if you got to get 2 yards, I'm giving the ball to him. He's going to move the pile. That's for sure.
All right, I think people forget, and we'll get to the next call. Because I always like when we do website questions and we ask about, you know, dominant years and stuff like that, people forget about how good Tiki Barber was. Mm-hmm. Starting in 2002, Jeff, 1,984 scrimmage yards,
okay.
1,387 on the ground, 11 touchdowns, 4.6 yards per carry. The next year, 1,200 yards on the ground, 4.4 yards per carry. The next year, 1,500 yards on the ground, 2,096 total yards in 2004. 2005, 1,860 rushing yards. 54 catches. 2,390 yards from scrimmage. Almost 2,400. And then finally, Jeff, his last year before he retired, he ran for 1,600 yards, over 5 yards per carry, just like the year before. 58 catches. 2,127 yards from scrimmage. He led the NFL in yards from scrimmage for 2 straight years. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and back to the caller about the offensive line and David Deal and Sean O'Hara and those guys. That was a lunch pail group right there, boy. They paved the path for those numbers you just said. And that goes to show you got an offensive line like that and a running back. He was so good. I mean, you know, like I said, the only thing about Tiki was just couldn't hold on to the football at times, but he fixed that.
He also couldn't hold on to his tongue either, which is part
of
the problem.
Well, that's a big problem too. Yeah. So, anyways, but from a production standpoint, all the other stuff aside, those are crazy numbers.
Like you can, if he didn't retire when he did, Jeff, and he played 2 more years at that level of productivity,
sure,
there's a legit Hall of Fame argument.
Absolutely. I mean, 2,000 yards? How many years in a row of combined? I mean,
he had his last 3 years of his career, he had 2,000 yards from scrimmage all 3 years.
That's incredible.
And that's 2 years before that, he had 1,984.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
And pretty durable, too. You know, didn't miss a lot of time.
Oh, yeah. No, Jeff, he played 16 games in every one of his final 9 years except for one when he played 14 in 2001. That's
impressive.
And that's a running back.
That's what I'm
saying. Starting in 98. Mm-hmm. 16, 16, 16, 14, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16.
Come on.
That's come on.
No.
Right?
I mean, that's, yeah. Seriously? Ask somebody to do that to today's game.
Jeff, yards per carry, 4.2, 4.7, 5.2, 4.6, 4.4, 4.7, 5.2, 5.1. Catches, 66, 70, 72, 69, 69, 52, 54, 58. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah. I mean,
really
listen,
good.
If you found a guy like that in free agency today, what do you think he would command?
Now, the problem, and you mentioned the fumbles, right? From 2002 to 2003, he fumbled 9 times, 8 times, 9 times, 9 times.
Oh, my God.
And then Tom Coughlin showed up in 2004, right? That was Tom's first year
or
four.
Yep.
He only fumbled 5 times, mm-hmm. and then it went down to 1 the year after that.
That's attention to detail.
Not a coincidence, by the way. Mm-hmm. Hey, Giant fans, don't miss out on your chance to experience a premier hospitality experience watching Giant games and world-class concerts in 2021. As a Giant suite partner, limited full-season locations are available. Or place a deposit for individual games. Call 888-NYG-1925 or visit giants.com/suites for more information. Back to the phones. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Joe in PA.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. His brother wasn't too shabby. Was that his twin, his brother?
Yes, Rondé is his twin. You got it.
Yeah. Yep.
Great corner.
He was up there, too, like, for All-Pro. You know, he was really good, too. The only thing I want to say, I know we're talking about the draft, each team.
Anything you want, Joe. You can take it
anywhere
you want.
I'm just saying if you rank each team with what they did in free agency, too, because – I think that's going to be a big thing here, and with what each team did, I really don't know. I think we did the best on there.
Oh no, Joe, you're right. If you want to rank which NFC East team improved the most from last season to this season from a talent perspective, it's the Giants, and it's not really close, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well. We'll just have to see, but team, like I said, I look at each teams and stuff like that. Even the Eagles, you're saying they're last in the division. You'd look at their offensive line now compared to ours. You know, if everybody's healthy, I don't know where you'd rank them.
Oh no, Jeff, look, and Jeff and I tried to make this point. If we didn't, I apologize, but we think the Eagles have a really good team. We just don't know what they're going to get out of the quarterback.
Well,
that's the problem. You know what I mean?
Right. You could say that with us, too, for sure. Then you could say, I said before, you could say that with Dallas and Washington, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't think you have any questions about Dak Prescott.
Well, his health, that was a bad injury coming back off of that.
Yeah, apparently he's already running and throwing, though.
So I think
out of all, let me put it this way. Out of all the quarterback situations in the division, Joe,
oh, right.
I would feel best about what the Cowboys are dealing with, okay?
Okay.
Right.
That's what I say, and I think that's why I think they're ranked number one in the division now, I believe. You know, what I've seen there on power rankings, and I have no argument with that. Okay, thanks for taking my call. Okay, they're special teams, too, you know what I mean, to bring up.
Oh, those
know.
Don't matter. Nobody cares about special teams.
That's why we just pass right over them.
No, there's a lot if you break down each team one of these times, you know, offense, defense, special teams, and I guess you almost have to rank quarterback separately, I guess, but it's because it's there with the offense. So thanks for taking my call.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, man. But no, look, Jeff, he makes a good point that if you want to include free agency, forget it. I mean, no one improved from a talent perspective more than the Giants did.
I mean, I'm looking at Washington's, their big four additions was William Jackson, the cornerback, Curtis Samuel, wide receiver, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Adam Humphries, the wide receiver. Those are those four guys, okay? And then if you look at the Giants, you got Galladay, Adoree Jackson, Rudolph, Devontae Booker, the other guy, Effetti. What's his, how do you say, Odin? Oh, I'm going to screw this one up.
Try
again.
Come on.
And then John Ross.
Odetebo.
Yeah, I'll get it by the end of the season.
You had it when we did.
I did. I just have to. You know, we're not saying it enough.
No, you're right. I know.
Once we start saying it, I'll get it.
And by the way, you haven't said the Washington, you know, what's in a long time either. You've been very
good
about
that.
I hope so.
I think we're all over it. I think, and that's a good thing because we got tired of correcting everybody, right?
Yes. Well, and that's not a term we necessarily want to use if you don't have to, you know.
Exactly.
What I mean? So,
but I think Washington did okay. I mean, but I think the Giants did better. Yeah.
So. Yeah. No. Look, absolutely, and I just think, you know, the Giants, they just added a lot of talent. I think when you look at the division, right? Dallas, I think, is hoping to make a lot of their improvement for two reasons. One, they're healthier on offense. Prescott's back, and their offensive linemen are going to be healthy, in theory, right? So that's where I think Dallas wants to make their biggest improvement, is with health on offense. And then on defense, they want to make it with coaching, where they let go of Mike Nolan. They bring in Dan Quinn, who was a much simpler, Jeff, defensive scheme. That's
Which,
had
by
success.
The way, the Mike Nolan hire never made sense from the beginning.
Not with the talent they had on the roster and trying to put in a complicated scheme with an offseason like that.
Yeah.
No, that
no, didn't
I mean,
work.
You knew
obviously.
You knew in week three when the players started like complaining about it publicly to Jane Slater that was not something that was going to work out. So. Yeah, look, I'm with you. I think Dallas hopes to improve that way. Philly, I think, helps a big part of it on offense, too, with the offensive line. Their offensive line was decimated last year with injury. Mm-hmm. If they can get that better, they think they're going to be a bit better.
By the way, you know, probably a lot of people don't know this, but they signed Joe Flacco so as their backup quarterback.
True.
I guess. Yeah.
And then Washington, they hope Fitzpatrick brings some stability, and, you know, they, you know, hope they get a little bit better offensively while they maintain their defensive dominance. So I think that's kind of what the four teams are looking at this year. But look, honestly, we can rank these teams in the division, and we will at some point. We'll do an exercise, you know, with like position by position and rank them 1 through 4. We'll have fun with that. But if I told you today that any one of these four teams would win the division this year, would you be shocked by it? I might be mildly surprised by a couple, but I don't think I'd be shocked by any of the four teams winning the division. Would you?
I would be shocked if the Eagles did.
Okay.
That would be the only one.
And by the way, last year I would have said I would have been shocked if Washington did, and see how that happened.
I know. And that defense started to play incredible, you know. Dallas, just quickly, I think Dallas with Dak, I think, is just a much better football team that can do things. And, you know, maybe with
Well, their offense is going to be really good if they're healthy. I mean, it just is.
Yeah. I mean, and then their defense is where it's going to be tough. But, you know, they got a coach down there that can coach now on the defensive side of the football.
You know, you know how I look at it, Jeff? If they can just get that defense to, like, 18th or 20th, I think that's enough, given how good their offense is going to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, their offense, if they can stay healthy on the offensive line, then the offense will be incredible, you know, because they'll be able to run the football, and then they've got those receivers that are just insane, right? And then you got the quarterback play. By far, they have the best quarterback in the division. So I think Washington is a team that would not surprise me again to win it. The Giants certainly wouldn't surprise me. I think they're moving in the right direction. And then, the Cowboys, I would say that if the Cowboys won the division, it wouldn't surprise me. But the biggest one would be the Eagles. If the Eagles come out and win this division, I'm going to be like, what the heck is going on?
All right. Good. I like it. No, I like it. And I agree. I think the Eagles is the last on my list too. I just wouldn't be shocked by it, just because it's the NFC East and crazy things happen all the time.
Especially after what happened last year when we're sitting there going, somebody gets 6 wins going to win this division?
Absolutely, 100%. So I hate to say shocked just because of I'm trying to learn my lesson from last year.
Yeah.
But that would be the team I would say is least likely to win.
Least likely would be a better term than shocked.
That's fine. But look, I think between Dallas, Washington, and the Giants, it's almost like which team's going to be healthiest, right?
Yeah. Say that again.
I think depending on which one of those three teams ends up on top of the division, will in a lot of ways depend on which team's healthiest.
Absolutely, and maybe that's just not just this division. That's every division.
That's
right?
True too. But I think those teams are pretty close in terms of, you know, talent.
Yeah,
where that's going to just be a really big and coaching too, right? I mean, that's a big part of it too. Getting the most out of the talent on your roster. I think you like where the Giants are with that.
I also like where the Giants are with injuries. I mean, this is a team. This all goes hand in hand. I mean, it just can't not make sense. I think that the way that teams do things in today's world, off you know, training and things like that. I think that it makes a difference. And I think the Giants, the way they're doing things, you know, you look at the injury list last year for all 16 games, and it wasn't atrocious like it's been in the past, you know. So, and that's a little bit of luck. But I also think it does make a difference the way that these guys are coached and how they practice.
All right, I agree, Jeff. Back to the phones at 973-667-1960. Don't miss out on your chance to experience a premier hospitality experience. Watching Giant games and world-class concerts in 2021 is a Giant suite partner. Limited full-season locations are available or place a deposit for individual games. Call 888-NYG-1925 or visit giants.com/suites for more information. Back to the phones. Call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
How you doing? This is James calling from Virginia. How you guys doing?
Hi, James, what's up, man? What do you got?
All right, I got a question for you guys.
Yeah, what do you got?
Sounds serious.
I think, this team, I think, is we getting ready to take off. But my question to you guys is, when Jason Garrett was the coach for the Cowboys, when they got Ezekiel, and I want to ask you guys, how do you think his offense did when he had the pieces versus what Freddie Kitchens did with Cleveland? And because I think it's a lot of pressure on Jason Garrett just as well as Daniel Jones now that he has everything, and I'm hoping that the offense don't be so vanilla like it was last year. So that was my question to you.
No, I think that's a good question. Again, I think the way the offense was run last year had a lot to do with how they were trying to win and the talent that Garrett had to deal with. So I think that was a part of that. I think when he was with Dallas and he had Tony Romo and Ezekiel Elliott and DeMarco Murray, if you want to go back that far, heck, you want to go back to Marion Barber and Julius Jones if you want to. He was the offensive coordinator those years. I mean, Jeff, yeah. You know, you faced those teams. Those Cowboys teams could score the point, could score the ball now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen to this. Just a few years back, they scored a lot of points. They just had no defense, right? I mean, they can put up some points. I think, listen, I think that last year, and I've said this before, and John, you've heard me say this, I think that going into the season last year, they were counting on Saquon Barkley to be their guy and have the offense kind of designed around that. And when he got hurt after that first game, it was, oh, my God, what are we doing now? And then all of a sudden, it's just, you know, things started to, you know, and I think that it was a big blow to that offense because it was designed around 26.
Right. And, Jeff, I think we talked about this, though, too. We don't expect them to be, by design, a throw the ball 40 to 45 times a game team either.
You cannot do that.
Especially not with a young offensive line.
Nope. And we talk about balance, you know, being offensively, being balanced and being able to have convertible third downs and distance. And, you know, when you have a running game, you can do that. But, you know, one thing the Giants did do that I think that shows a little bit of why that Dave Gettleman and his staff and everybody did not draft an offensive lineman was because at the end of the season, the Giants started to run the football. And that's a direct, you know, correlation between how that Giants offensive line started to play together.
And they played better in pass pro too. Look, they still had some moments. You know, the second half of the Arizona game is not something anyone wants to remember when Hassan Reddick basically put up his season career sack total in one game. But they played a little bit better. You know, the second half against Baltimore wasn't great either when they had to, you know, throw the ball a lot. But they were better. And they think that progress with young guys is going to continue.
That's right.
And then you mentioned Kitchens. It depends what year. Do you want to talk about Freddie Kitchens, the year he was offensive coordinator?
Or the year he was head coach.
Or the year he was the head coach the next year.
No,
and by the way, he was also the offensive coordinator that year, too. He ran the offense. He called the plays. So one year he was great, and the next year it was an epic disaster. So it's hard for me to really, you know, judge that. You know what I mean?
Right. So his position now with the Giants is he's not the tight end coach, so he'll be more helping, I guess, Jason Garrett with the offense?
Yeah, he'll help putting it together, and he'll also kind of go position group to position group depending on what they might need some help with during the week. So he's kind of like the roving instructor. But, yeah, I think he's also going to work with Joe Judge and Jason Garrett in putting that game plan together every week, for sure.
I think we're gonna get back to Giants football. Something is telling me I think Joe Judge is there. I think we're going to do something this year.
Now, I would ask you, James, what do you mean by that? When you say get back to Giants football, what do you think?
Get back to winning. And I think towards the end of last year, we started, like you said, we started to gel and starting to learn how to win those games that we were losing in the beginning of the year. We started learning how to win those games. And I think that will just keep going. I mean, I think that it just keep going. You know, the defense, we don't have a you know, a Lawrence Taylor or a Justin Tucker or anything like that, but I think the defense as a whole is going to be right in the middle of the pack, maybe a little bit more, and I think we'll do good with this offense. The defense can hold it, and we can score some points, which I believe we will, better this year. I think we're going to be all right.
All right, James, appreciate the call, man.
Thanks a lot.
But Jeff, I still think, though, you know, even though he's coming off the injury, I still think this offense is going to revolve around Saquon Barkley a lot of the time.
Has to be, yeah. Again, like, you know, yeah, if you can start to run the football, we've talked about this all the time, it always sets you up for the pass and, you know, the play action. And
I would like to see a little more, maybe a couple more throws on first and second down, though. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I think we can now because of Kadarius. I think that we could maneuver that very well. Because, you know, a lot of times a quick pass on first down is an extension of your running game, right? I mean, so it doesn't have to be a pass down the field. It can just be a little, you know, a little dump-off pass, quick to get the ball in his hands. You know, maybe a jet sweep or something designed in that sense that, you know, to get the ball in his hands on first down. And then, you know, if he gets 7 or 8 and you got a 2nd and 2, that's a lot of fun football right there. When you're up against 2nd and 2 a lot, I mean, you can do anything.
Yeah, and look, and you can throw the little, you know, I mean, that slant to Kenny Galladay should become the staple. You have that big of a frame. Do you know how hard, I mean, remember how many times, just think of this, and this is a comparison I've made before in terms of playing style, right? How many times did Dallas, Dez Bryant slant the Giants to death over the 5 or 6 years he was down there, right?
Yeah.
Because he was such a big-bodied, you know, and Galladay's a bigger frame than Bryant, but Bryant at least was a very physical receiver, so he could win on those inside slants, and I think Jason Garrett's going to have that Galladay slant in his back pocket all day, and that's going to be a guaranteed 6, 7, 8 yards whenever he wants it.
And the clip that I keep seeing of Devontae Smith is just that little screen bubble screen pass out there to the wide receiver.
Yep.
And then he just goes.
That's Tony.
That's gonna be his play. You're gonna get that little dump pass and then he's just gonna let him go.
And then you're paying attention to those guys so much, you run play action, you send Slayton on a fly route and he has single coverage.
Boom.
Big play.
Exactly.
We did not plan that. That was very well synchronized, Jeff. I'm impressed. Good job.
But I think more importantly, what's gonna be fun is that this offense has they're not going to be predictable, and there's so many weapons. I mean, Kyle Rudolph is not, you know, your guy that's going to be, he's not Zach Ertz, he's not, you know, any of these really top level anymore, but the guy still can play football, okay? And then you've got, if we can just get Evan Engram to focus in on what he's doing and catch the football, he's another threat. And I just keep going on and on and on. Saquon Barkley, Kadarius Toney.
We haven't mentioned Galladay. Sterling Shepard yet.
And we haven't even mentioned anybody that's on the team that was on the team already. So this is amazing to me that this offense will be a lot of fun to watch. And then all of a sudden, now defensively, we got a better football team than they were last year. They've got more depth. They got better cornerbacks. They've got experience in the safety position. And you've just picked up a second-round draft pick that's going to probably be one of the better pass rushers in the division. There you go. That's back to winning football. Back to Giants football. Was it Jim or James that was just called in?
James,
yeah, there you go.
Now, Jeff, I will say this, and while it's true, the Giants did finish the season 5-3, and they played better the second half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
No one's arguing that. In the middle of that 8 games, though, is a 3-game period where they were beaten pretty convincingly by 3 of the better teams that were on their schedule in the second half of the year.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
They lost to Arizona 26-7. They lost to Cleveland 20-6. And they lost to Baltimore 27-13. Now, Daniel Jones was banged up for those games. Wasn't 100%. I get all that. But the defense, for example, gave up 390 yards, 392 yards, and 432 yards in those 3 games. In offense in those 3 games, Jeff, they gained 159 yards, 288, and 269.
Yeah, bad football.
I'm just saying, that's being beaten pretty convincingly in those 3 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how much do you weight towards those games versus wins against Philly, Dallas, Washington, and then you have the outlier is Seattle. Because they beat Seattle, they were outgained in that game by about 37 yards, but they won the game, right?
Ran the football, remember?
Right, absolutely. Yeah. They won the game 17-12. So How do you weigh those three losses against three of the better teams in that stretch versus your wins against teams? Again, aside from Seattle, that's an outlier, that didn't have quite as good of a record like Washington, Philly, Dallas, and Cincinnati. That's, I think, something you have to figure out.
Well, and I think two things come to mind. Number one, I feel like this team was just learning how to be a new coach, new staff, new systems, everything. And, you know, when you run up against a team that's established, a good football team, they just couldn't compete then. And I think that now that this team has done what they've done in the offseason, I think they've done in the draft, and now a year later in the system, the coaches, all that stuff, I think that puts them in a little better position to maybe, if you played those three teams again, could you win two out of the three? One of those three, I don't know, but I think they would compete better.
Agree 100%. 1,000% agree with you.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a good point.
973-667-1960. Back to the call.
Once in a while.
Caller, you're on the line. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Charlie, Portland, Maine.
Hey, Charles.
What's up, Charles? How are you, man?
Hey, man, when you guys were talking about Philly's quarterback and you were talking about Washington's quarterback, you were talking about Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones has done more than Jalen Hurts has done, and it's not even close.
Yeah, but he's still in the same basket. He hasn't proved anything yet.
I disagree. I think Daniel Jones is a tier above Hurts.
I do, too.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Hurts, you know, remember, he was thrown in during the middle of the year. This year, that guy's a good quarterback. I see him as a Cam Newton-type, Dak Prescott-type guy. Ooh. And I'm telling you, he is going to ball out. I wanted us to take him in the second round last year for backup. But this guy, you're underestimating this guy.
Okay.
This guy is a good quarterback.
Now, remember, Charlie, I was on the record when he got drafted that I wouldn't have drafted him on the first 2 days of the draft. So I'm just being consistent of my evaluation before he even got picked.
But to me, you know, the only quarterback that is settled in this division is Prescott.
Yeah,
100%. He's the only one.
Daniel Jones hasn't done anything yet.
He had 11 touchdowns last year. And I did a little research because I wanted to see. And I found out, which I figured would be, in this draft, 29 teams picked an offensive lineman in this draft, either a center, a guard, or a tackle. In fact, Buffalo picked three. And there were seven teams that picked two offensive linemen. There was only three teams that didn't pick an offensive lineman. One of them was Texas. They only had four picks, but they did pick up a blocking tight end. So technically, they're trying to help the line. The only other team that didn't was the Rams. And the Rams were the number one team in run blocking for their offensive line last year.
They also only had like five picks, right? Something like that, the Rams. They didn't have a lot of picks either.
And they were in the top 10 of offensive line. So I can understand why that one team did not, you know, didn't pick an offensive lineman, even though I think they should have anyway. But the only team that needed to pick an offensive lineman, who was 31st in the offensive line in offense, was the New York Giants. And we didn't pick one.
All right, Charlie, I understand your point. You've made it many times. I'm going to try now to retire this conversation, okay?
Cool.
All right.
Jeff, stop me if I'm speaking out of turn for what you think, but
okay.
I think we're on the same page here, okay? The Giants are taking a calculated risk with their offensive line this year.
Correct.
They have and I know you're agreeing with me. They have a number of young players that they're counting on to develop for this offensive line to be better than it was last season. They are going into the season relying on that development for this offensive line to take the next step, which will help the quarterback take the next step, which will help the offense take the next step, which will allow the team to take the next step.
For years to come.
Jeff and I both advocated for them to draft an offensive line this year. So we don't disagree with that. You know, I told you, my first option in the first round, if I was doing this draft, and for Giant fans, thank God I'm not, it's Rashawn. I would have picked Rashawn Slater because I think he can be guard. He can be a Pro Bowl tackle, Pro Bowl guard. Take your pick, whatever. That's fine. Okay? So we see those points to you. We understand that you think that they should have drafted an offensive lineman. We understand that you're afraid that this offensive line could short circuit their whole season. Is there a chance that if Lemieux doesn't get any better and Matt Parrott doesn't improve and Nate Solder isn't very good coming off a full year off, that this offensive line could really make it hard for this team to win. Is that scenario possible? Yes, it's possible. We're not arguing that point with you. So we're ceding that point. Are we okay? Are we on the same page? Do we not have to have this phone call again for the next 3 months? Are we good?
All right. We're
now,
good.
Hold on a sec. Hold on. I gotta hold on. Let me add something.
Sure.
So the next time that John and Jeff are on the line and you call in, you understand that we've discussed this already.
Yes.
I got to say another thing. There are some really good offensive linemen still in free agency. So
we're not there yet.
No, Charlie, that's fine. And that's fine. But they've also, and I've had mailbag questions, and I wrote about this on the website in one of the mailbags last week. I think the Giants have done most of their work in free agency. And I know you're not happy with the performance of some of these players, but they have brought in players with a lot of starting experience in the NFL that play the interior offensive line. Go back to Kenny Wiggins from last year, Zach Fulton, and Jonathan Harrison.
Please don't even talk about Fulton.
I know you, and you have understandable concerns about his performance in Houston.
Yeah, 14 gave up 14 sacks last year, the most in the NFL.
Jeff and I are not arguing that he's going to step in and be this super high caliber, you know, type of guy. By the way, the Colts, breaking news, just signed Eric Fisher. Just to stick it to Charlie. The Colts signed Eric Fisher to a 1 year. By the way, $9.5 million contract. The Giants do not have $9.5 million to spend on an offensive line.
And who has a really good offensive line?
They do.
But guess what? They're still getting offensive
No, but remember,
line.
The Colts, they lost Costanzo, and they also did not draft one until late in the draft. So they needed a guy, they go and they get one. So by point, Charlie, I just don't think that you're going to see another high-profile offensive linemen come in here between now and camp.
Oh, I know
now,
that.
If you get to training camp and they see that this is going to be a big problem and the defensive lineman's killing these guys in practice, might you see some extra machinations to make something happen then? Sure. I just don't think that's going to happen between now and then. Fair?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they've got this magic offensive line that's just going to go from 31st to 15th. And like you said, this is a huge question mark, because if this offensive line produces the way I think they're going to produce, like they did last year, we're not going to be able to run the ball, and Daniel Jones is going to be running for his life again, and he's going to be fumbling and stumbling like he did last year.
Charlie, I'm going to disagree with one thing. I think the run blocking last year was actually good. So if they come back with the same group, I'm fine with the run blocking. I think, and Jeff, I think you agree with me, right?
Well, I said it earlier. Yeah. They look at the second half of the season.
The run blocking.
When they went 5-3, it was because they were able to run the football.
And the run blocking is more than good enough, Charlie. The risk is the pass protection, just to be honest about it.
But look at who we, just like you were saying.
It doesn't, but you know what, though, Charlie? You're gonna be one of those guys that always says, well, look who they play. They don't get to pick who they play.
We couldn't run the ball against Baltimore, against Arizona. Just the teams you were talking about.
No, that's fair. It's a fair.
That's 100% fair. But they're gonna they're banking on them getting better.
In Dallas. Better. All I'm saying is,
and
like,
Seattle.
They're taking a huge risk, which I don't understand. I can understand if their offensive line was 17th, 16th in the league, fine. But not. And then you've got a quarterback who hasn't proven anything. We don't even know if he's a franchise quarterback. And you're surrounding him with all these weapons. Didn't we have weapons before? Barkley, Odell, Shepard,
Charlie,
all these guys.
You're right.
What happened?
You have pinpointed for the Giants what their big potential issue is with the team this year. That's their issue. The Cowboys' issue is their defense. Philly's issue is their quarterback, and you can even argue their corners. Washington.
Dallas drafted for defense. They were smart. We didn't draft for the weakest link in our team, our offensive line.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Charlie, we understand.
It's ridiculous.
We understand. Yep. We accept your point of view.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay, hey. So please, do not. I don't want to hear you ranting and raving about the offensive line on your next call. Let's pick a different topic, okay?
We also drafted.
Appreciate the call, man. Thank you, bud.
We also drafted and signed in free agency because what did this team lack also other than winning and things like that?
Weapons.
Weapons and scoring freaking points.
Thank you, Jeff.
By the way, you score more than the other team, you win 100% of the time. Okay, so if you can't score, you can't win. If you don't have guys to score, you'll never win. So that's why they went out and got at the beginning. Remember the postseason conference, press conferences that the Mr. Mara and Dave Gettleman, what they said? We need more playmakers.
Right. And Jeff,
we need more guys that could score and make plays. Well, that doesn't mean go out and draft and sign a bunch of offensive linemen. They don't score points.
No, they do allow the other guys to score points. But yes.
They do, but in the big picture, you know what I'm talking about.
Of course, I do.
And then, by the way, you get one of your big playmakers coming back into the mix. Okay, we hope that he's going to be 100%. And that's going to even add more to your playmakers. So,
and let me throw one more thing out there before you say goodbye, because I have a guy coming here to fix my stove, which
okay.
is great.
But, you know, real quick, let me end
yes.
on this, and I'll
no,
be
please.
Done.
No, that's okay.
Listen, I am with you, and Charlie, please don't talk about this ever again, because we're on the same page with you, and John and I both advocated for offensive linemen, okay? I wanted a defensive lineman first, okay? That's who I wanted. But did I ever veer away from – you asked me many times, John – if Slater's there or there's an offensive lineman there, are you taking him if the other guys are gone? I said yes. Okay?
Yep.
And did I want another offensive lineman? Yes, I did. Because I just feel like it's just they needed it. Okay? But they didn't get it, and so I'm okay.
Yeah, and by the way, Jeff, I painted the potential worst-case scenario just to placate Charlie there, okay? Here's another scenario that could happen. Matt Parrott puts on 20 pounds of muscle this offseason. He shows up with his 36-inch arms. He's basically got, like, telephone poles hanging off of his torso, okay? And he blocks the hell out of people as the team's starting right tackle. And he's a great pass protector on that end.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Thomas picks up where he left off the last 7 games of last year, mm-hmm. where he hardly gave up any pressures or sacks or quarterback hits, aside, again, from that bad stretch against Hassan Reddick. All right? And he ends up having an excellent sophomore year and is a borderline Pro Bowl level player. And then Shane Lemieux takes a step, and he continues to be a good run blocker. We loved the mental part of his game last year, picking up stunts and twists and stuff like that. And he becomes an average pass protector.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Gates in his second year takes another step as the center. He played much better second half of last year, and that continues.
Which he might be able to help on each side of the guards, too.
And now maybe with some consistency and a new offensive line coach, Will Hernandez recognizes all that talent we saw in him when they drafted him second overall. And whatever negative effects he had from catching COVID last year ends up going away. And maybe he develops into a good starting level offensive guard. Then all of a sudden, you're looking at a top 15, 18 offensive line. And that's all you need. Just be average on the offensive line. And that's good enough. So that's the scenario that Dave Gettleman's thinking of. And by the way, Jeff, I know we're going long here, but I think this is an important point to make. This front office and this coaching staff know so much more about where this offensive line is and how these young offensive linemen are progressing, how much they progressed throughout the year last year, than we do. We watch the games. We watch the tape. That's fine. Guess what? They know what's going on in meetings, how the guys are handling stuff mentally. They know what's going on the practice field, what's happening in the weight room. They have so much information that we don't. Again, that's not to say that you can't disagree with them and question it. That's fine. But you shouldn't just dismiss out of hand what their opinion is until we go out there and we see on the field. Now, if we get out there in September, Jeff, and things are falling apart, then yeah, we got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. I get it, okay? Yep. But you have to at least understand that this group does know more about these young players than we do based on just watching them in games on game tape.
Yeah, and we talked about all the, when draft picks, we talk about projections. They're projecting that these guys are going to get better. And they're confident in the coaches that they brought in to help Coach Flaherty and Rob Sale. They're saying that we feel that these guys can get these to the next level. And you hit the nail on the head, by the way. And if Charlie is correct and they're the 31st or whatever number they were ranked last year, get to the middle of the pack. That's okay. You're not expecting an offensive line to go from 31 to 1. There's no way that can happen. It's going to have to be, baby steps here. But actually, I don't want baby steps. I would like a little bit bigger than baby steps. Maybe toddler steps. How's that? for us with kids, you know, don't give me baby steps. Just give me toddler steps, okay? So I would be okay with going from 13th to 16th or 15th. I'm okay with that.
Well, let me ask you. If I told you, just in terms of pressure rate allowed, and I'll use that as the metric, because, again, I think both of us think their run blocking was fine. So we're talking solely about pass pro here, right?
Okay.
Let's say they go from the 31st highest pressure rate allowed to the 21st. If I allowed you to sign up for that right now, would you sign up for that right now?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Because I think, I agree.
I
think
work around
that's
it.
Good enough for this offense to function at a high level.
Sure, because I can work around it. I'll work around the weaknesses. I'll find something to complement that if I can't. You know, if my left guard is the weakest link of those people, then I'm going to have to deal with that. I'm going to have to keep some protection in for him on that left side or whatever it is. I'll combat it. I will. But that's good progress for me. 10 points up, that's good. That means they got better.
Jeff, I'm with you 100%.
What would you rather have? This is a stupid question, but would you go from 31 to 21 or 21 down to 31? Seriously. So, I mean, come on. I mean, that's progress. And then you know what? By the way, I mentioned it earlier. These are young guys. This is a young offensive line. So if they're jumping up 10 spots in 1 year, what can they do the next year? They jump up 10 more, and now they're in the top 10?
Jeff, all the players on this offensive line, aside from Solder, have been drafted in the last 4 years. The first-round pick, a second-round pick, a third-round pick, and a fourth-round pick. Fifth-round pick. And then you have the undrafted free agent in Nick Gates.
That's right.
So, look, they've put resources into it. To quote Dave Gettleman, let these guys play.
Well, they've got to because they've invested in it. Those are draft picks. And you want your draft picks to win. You want them to pan out and ultimately get you another contract, right? I mean, that's where you want to go, but you want to see improvement.
Hey, look, and if these guys – and look, you know Dave Gettleman better than I do, but we both know him pretty well. If they come out this year and Daniel Jones is a pincushion back there and he's getting hammered, Dave Gettleman will be the first one to step up and say, you know what?
I screwed up.
I made a miscalculation.
That's right. Yep. And then, you know, he'll have to pay the consequences. You know, that's what happens. People, they're going to put their name on it. He's going to support it.
Well, he said, I drafted these guys and I have confidence in them.
That's right.
And we got to let them play.
That's right. You don't draft guys to say I don't like him anymore.
Right. Right.
You know, that's how you lose your job
and
right
look,
there. I don't like those guys I drafted 2 years ago. They don't play anymore.
Hey, look, we talked about it last year. Matt Parrott has the ability to be a very good offensive tackle in terms of tools, right? He's got to put it all together, but he's got the tools. How much did we love Will Hernandez coming out of school as a second-round pick?
Loved him.
We
Nasty.
Talked about him incessantly on this show.
Mm-hmm.
He has it in him. He has the talent to be a good guard in this league. Well, maybe instead of, you know, shifting offensive line coaches every 10 minutes, which, again, that's on the organization.
Makes sense.
But maybe he takes a step up here. Maybe he finally – maybe it clicks for him in year number four. Who
that's
knows?
Right.
Maybe it doesn't. I don't know, but we're going to find out. So
we're going to find out sooner or later.
That's where we're at. Charlie, we get it. And if you're another fan, you want to call up and give a different take on the offensive line or maybe talk a little bit about a different factor or issue in it, that's great. Please call in. We'd love to hear from you. But, Charlie, every time you call in, it's O-line, 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 O-line. We get it. We know where you're coming from. We accept your opinion. Cool.
Done.
Let's get a different topic.
Exactly.
Fair,
now,
Jeff?
You'll have to have this conversation the next time you're on with Paul and the next time you're on with Lance.
I will let them know. I will let those two gentlemen know, or guys. I don't want to give them too much credit and call them gentlemen. But I will let those two fellas know that this has been resolved. And it's not an agreement. It's a detente. We understand your opinion.
It's been discussed.
You understand our opinion.
Yeah.
And this is where we're at.
And let's stop talking about it.
Yes. Or again, if you want to get into a detailed thing on something, fine. But I just don't want to hear, oh, they didn't draft any offensive linemen. I don't want to hear that part anymore, okay? I get it. We accept. We understand. We get it. It's bad podcasting, radio, streaming, whatever you want to call it, to just say the same thing over and over again. People are going to get tired of it. So let's just get some new material, okay?
That's right.
All right, Jeff. You're on, what, Thursday next with Tino?
I'm going to be on Thursday. Yep. You guys have a good one.
Awesome.
Will see everybody on Thursday.
Tomorrow, you'll have Lance and Tino bickering with each other for 60 minutes back and forth, which is always a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have the schedule release on Thursday. Maybe I'll pop
there
on with
go.
You and
okay,
Paul
yeah.
on Thursday, Jeff, and we could do some
Come
kind of
on.
Fun game with, like, predictions.
Yeah, because it'll be that night where they have a release show or something.
Of course they are. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, so it's going to be in the evening. So yeah, Friday's show will be more of, talk about the
schedule. So Thursday we can do predictions, and then maybe Friday we can do a little review of that. Oh, and by the way, I mean, I can share it with you on Thursday too. I tallied up our points for our draft questions, by the way.
Oh. Okay, yeah, because that was pretty detailed. Okay, yep, good. I'd like to hear that.
I'm not sure you're going to be too thrilled with the point totals, but we'll go through it next time you're on Thursday. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Judge Schmelk. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com and the Giants mobile app. Guys, seriously, continuing great job by you, the callers, getting on and asking some good questions and having a good conversation. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time, Tuesday at noon, for another episode of Big Blue Kickoff Live.